And welcome into the Wednesday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, the game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Nick Keyser here with you on this Wednesday morning. Robbie and Rex Road brought to you by First Horizon, big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. Joseph, how we doing? Good morning. What's going on?
Oh, I'm doing okay. Whoa, this thing's interesting today, this little mic stand. People, I think we were advised that we should talk about equipment as much as possible, right?
I think at least 30 minutes per day.
Yeah, so let me start out by saying this mic stand's being really weird, Nick Keyser. But pretty good. Last night I enjoyed some C-Mace and Max Herz on the animated Preds broadcast. I still am fascinated by, like, how, you know, like...
It's really blown your mind.
What happened in the hockey game, then it was on the cartoon. I find that to be... You know, I'm like a caveman lawyer. Like, how is there people in my little box in my living room talking to me? And then I also enjoyed watching the Warriors win at the Grizzly with Steph scoring, 52, Draymond with a triple-double, and Jimmy Butler, 27. Watch out for the Dubs.
Things seem to be going really well for the Grizzlies since they fired their coach right before the playoffs started.
Yeah. Yeah, that really seems like a smart move.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very weird.
It's kind of a wonder we don't see more teams in sports do this all the time. Fire their coach in April when the playoffs begin in 2 weeks.
Right. We've worked all year. We're going to be in the postseason. Let's mix it up.
Keyser, how are we doing? What's going on?
Good morning. Yeah, doing well. So, Joe, what is going on with your microphone?
I mean, look at it.
I mean.
I guess it's okay.
It looks good.
It's not having a hard time staying up or anything like it used
to. Something's all set in there.
Yeah, at least PK's not coming in here bitching about it all. Already, you know?
He'll be here soon enough.
Just remember PK was basically doing like push-ups with the microphone? That was good.
I know, he was.
Yeah. I don't know. But it seems fine now.
Did you bring your dry towel, Joe, to wipe it off, I guess? I don't know. You were talking about all the dry butt sweat and stuff. Is the mic okay?
Although my commentary is doo-doo sometimes, I don't actually put my butt on the microphone.
Good.
Yeah.
So. Not as of yet. It hasn't happened.
Yeah, not yet. That may be coming up soon.
Here's what I think of the Titans draft. Paul Kuharsky will be with us later in the show. I was texting with PK yesterday, and he says right around 7:30 is when he'll be in.
Okay.
So we'll have PK a little bit later in the program. Preds fans, we've got a conversation for you coming up later this hour that kind of gets added to after the 8-4 debacle that was last night in Columbus. So we'll get into that a little bit later in the show as well. Joe, to begin things here, the tush push, which we spoke about yesterday with Charles Robinson and throughout the show yesterday, the vote that was supposed to happen got tabled. And it seems like there were 16 teams by the reporting around this that were opposed to or that were in favor of banning the tush push moving forward. They needed more than that. So I don't know exactly what this is going to look like in terms of the tush push and the vote and what that's going to happen or what's going to happen with that moving forward here. And, you know, you heard Charles yesterday talking about maybe some changing of the language that you might need to have with it moving forward here. But the vote for the moment tabled for the tush push and the banning of said play.
Yeah, Roger Goodell, I mean, the stuff he was talking about in regard to this makes me think he would like to see it banned. So, and the one point he made was, you know, data right now, there's not a lot of, like, injury data, which is true. I mean, but there are concerns with, you know, basically the mechanics of the play, which I agree with. So I'm going to be on team ban. I heard somebody on Sportsish talking about, I didn't know, didn't catch who it was, but making a good point. You know, back in the day, Barry Sanders didn't need someone pulling him or pushing him.
That was a caller, Walker Payton.
That was just a caller?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Good call. And it's true. Like, just the idea of pulling and pushing. I'm a rugby parent now. So
you are.
I like it a lot, but it is different. It's a different game, and there is pulling and pushing in that, and I think in some ways you need to keep football and rugby separate.
I would agree.
Be one of those ways.
I would agree.
Pull and push your teammates on offense. The offense has enough advantages.
I would agree with that too. I mean, there's certainly a lot of advantages in modern football geared toward the offense. So in the meantime, it's been tabled, so it's still legal at the moment. We'll see exactly what happens on that front with the tush push as we move forward.
You know what's going to happen this year? Someone's going to get hurt. Yeah. Someone's going to get hurt in that thing, and then it'll be like, okay, there you go. Now there's your data, and this will be the last year of the tush push.
Titans going to run it this year?
Prediction.
Cam Ward, the tush push, or like you going to bring in Chig to do the tush push? Some teams use their tight end.
The tight end to bring the tight end in.
I think the Lions use Laporta.
Yep.
Packers definitely use Tucker Kraft. You can use the tight end.
Yeah. If your quarterback is slight, yeah, that's the better thing. Again, like not everybody's quarterback squats 600 like Jalen Hurts does.
That's true.
So, yeah, maybe. I mean, maybe Will Levis is still the quarterback. Well, Will Levis, I think, would be a pretty good tush push.
I think he might be.
Candidate, but so, you know, when we talk about the pros and cons of Will Levis being the starter next year, put that in the pro category.
Well, we're going to get into some comments on Will Levis that was said on this station yesterday a little bit later in the program. So looking forward to that. So we spoke with Charles Robinson yesterday and threw the idea out there of, you know, what if the Titans are playing some games here at the draft and they really want Shedeur Sanders all along and they're interested in trading back and picking up some extra picks, and then going the Shedeur Sanders route, maybe with a trade with the Giants at 3. And Charles Robinson talked in that answer yesterday about the evaluation of Cam Ward versus Shedeur Sanders. Here's what Charles Robinson had to say yesterday on the program.
Every passing week, it's kind of felt like I've heard differing opinions or the momentum's changed, and there's a little bit of sort of reading the tea leaves yourself when you see a pro day and you're like, all right, well, let's see who they sent. How much are they driving into, you know, social media wise and the number of executives and coaches and everybody's going to watch him and they're working him out. And what is the private workout like? When do they go to dinner with him? You know, you pour all the resources into it. But I will say, get back to basics. Just look at the evaluation. And overall, for them to pass on Cam Ward for Shedeur, I think personally, again, and this is looking broadly across the entire league, they would have to be seeing something that I would say 90 to 95% of the rest of the league is not seeing with the evaluation between those two guys and coming to the conclusion that Shedeur is the better player.
So would have to be seeing something that 90 to 95% of the rest of the league is not seeing, if that's the way the Titans are ultimately going to go here and going with Shedeur over Cam Ward via trade back. What did you make of Charles and his evaluation of the Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders stuff yesterday?
It makes sense. I'd love to know, like, the gap each team. I mean, so we would assume that most of the teams have Ward ahead of Sanders, but I bet you there's differences in the gap. Right?
Sure.
Between those teams. And that's the thing here is the idea of, you know, the Titans, maybe they would take Ward one. If they're forced to pick, stick and pick, they'd take Ward. But if they don't see a huge gap between them, okay, so Ward, yeah, we talked about Maddich. We didn't talk about Maddich. We will talk about Maddich.
We will.
You referred to Maddich. We got some Trevor Maddich sound later. You know, and he made the point yesterday that he would take Shedeur and the picks, which of course means it's a trade down, over just Cam. So even though he agrees that Cam is better than Shedeur, and I would agree with this. I mean, I of course agree with this because I would take Shedeur anyway. But he doesn't believe the gap, at least in his mind, is big enough that like the picks wouldn't make up the difference. So that's obviously a question for the Titans. You know, even if they don't actually have Sanders ahead of Ward, and if they do, then of course they are outliers, right? But maybe they don't have a huge gap.
Yeah, it could be. And, you know, and then that gets down to, all right, well, who do you think is the better quarterback and who do you think has the best chance to be a franchise quarterback? If I'm a Titans fan and you're picking a quarterback, that's probably the way I'd rather see you go, just because I think if you get that position right, then it takes care of a lot of things on your football team. And if you get that position wrong, then it wrecks a lot of things on your football team. So personally, I would rather not mess around with the picks and get the quarterback right if that's the way you're going and you're picking a quarterback in the draft. I know some Titans fans don't agree with that, and they would say, well, if you feel like it's relatively close, take the lesser quarterback and try to get some picks that can bolster your roster around that guy. It would be interesting to see how the Titans view that and how different Titans fans view that, because I think we've heard from Titans fans that kind of view it on both different sides of that, Joe, throughout this entire process.
Yeah, I'm a believer in good quarterback, great team is easier to engineer than finding the great quarterback. So I think that Cam Ward has a higher ceiling, but I think that Shedeur Sanders has a higher floor. And I'd rather take someone who I think is going to be a good quarterback, who I think is going to be reliable, again, accurate, get the ball out, and he's going to be good, as opposed to someone who, if it all comes together, like I think Will Levis's ceiling is higher than Shedeur Sanders' ceiling too. But we see what happened. Great, high ceiling, but you can't.
I mean, Jamarcus Russell had a high ceiling.
Yeah, sure, exactly. Like, I'm more in favor of give me someone who is good, can get the ball out, sees things, gets the ball to the right spot. Again, Jared Goff is not blowing anybody away with anything he does other than that, right? But you put a great team around him, all of a sudden we're talking about Jared Goff for MVP, okay? So that's how I look at it. I would rather try to build. I think it's a lot safer pick, frankly. But Cam Ward's going to go earlier. Texter says Sanders has a noodle arm and holds the ball way too. Yeah, the hold the ball way too long thing is such a misconception based on an awful offensive line. Cannot make reads. That's not true. The risk of drama. Okay, that's fine. If you want to go with the risk of drama stuff, but the cannot make reads, holds the ball too long. You didn't watch him play. I'm sorry, you didn't watch him play.
And I also would not say that Sanders has a noodle arm. He does not have as good of an arm as Cam Ward. There's no doubt about that.
No, I mean, if you like that throw he made to beat Baylor, that was insane. Insane throw. Yeah, he doesn't have a noodle arm. He doesn't have quite Cam Ward's arm talent for sure. Yeah, the drama stuff, I guess if that's – some teams probably do make that a thing. Some don't. I wouldn't, but – hey, I guess maybe I'm just I'm a primetime fan. What can I tell you?
615-737-1025, our phone number. There is another position that the Titans are going to have to address at some point here in the draft that we got into with Charles yesterday that I think is going to be really interesting to see how the Titans prioritize it and who is left for them to select if it goes the way we think it's going to go. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025, 1063, the game. Robbie and Rex Road, broadcasting from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. Taking your thoughts on the Titans and the NFL draft, 615-737-1025. Preds fans, we will have a Andrew Burnett conversation for you coming up here in just a few minutes, so make sure you tuned in for that. So, Joe, we talked with Charles yesterday about of course, the quarterbacks in the draft, but also another position that is clearly of need with the Tennessee Titans, and that is wide receiver. Who in the world is the quarterback, whether it's Cam Ward, Shedeur Sanders, Jackson Dart, Kyle McCord, whoever they end up getting in the draft? Who are they throwing the ball to? Right now it's Calvin Ridley, it's Van Jefferson on the roster, and we're talking about Bryce Oliver a whole lot this offseason based on somebody who has not really done anything yet, so... a lot of Bryce Oliver conversations going on out there. That's basically what your receiving room looks like.
B.O.,
right,
baby.
Yeah. So
if he makes it big, B.O. Yeah. B.O.
Could do that. That would be nice. Real nice. So how will the Titans find an impactful wide receiver? That is kind of my question about that room right now. You've got Ridley, and it's good to have Ridley. And I think in actuality in today's NFL, he's probably a number two. On this team, he's going to have to be the number one, by far, based on the way things are currently set up right now. So most years, you can find really impactful receivers in the draft. And lately, in many cases in the draft, there have been some elite wide receivers that have been coming from the college ranks to the pros. And we asked Charles about that and how that relates to this year's class yesterday on the program. Here's what Charles Robinson had to say.
There's just not the elite guys at the top. I think that's the one sort of difference is that you've particularly last couple of years, the classes have been so good. It was not difficult to find some elite level players at the top of the draft from a wideout perspective. This time it's a little bit different because you have one guy, excuse me, in Travis Hunter, who arguably could be wide receiver one. who didn't spend the bulk of his time in college really refining that part of his game. I think, you know, he was more involved with being in the defensive meetings and being a more refined corner. And then yet he went out there as a wide receiver, maybe didn't run the most polished routes, maybe didn't do all these different things perfectly, but put out enough of an athletic profile and then the tape to lead some evaluators to go, if he said today, I'm going to be a wide receiver, he automatically becomes wide receiver one in the class.
So that was Charles yesterday on the wide receiver class. So it's interesting, you know, he makes the case that Travis Hunter, who we don't even know is going to play wide receiver in the NFL, could be wide receiver one in this class. He brought up Tet McMillan, that there's questions around him in terms of not only how fast is he, like how explosive can he be at the NFL level, but, you know, Charles brought up an example yesterday, too, of does he actually love ball? Getting back into that conversation. Like, apparently there's some audio out there of him talking about not watching film, and that has concerned some NFL teams out there. So there's questions with some of the top guys in the draft. I'm not as worried about the top guys, Joe, because if it goes the way we think it's going to go, then the Titans are going to draft those guys anyway because they're drafting a quarterback. Right. But I guess the question is, can they actually find an impactful, game-changing wide receiver in this draft? Can they do that? You know, I see a lot of Titans fans that want Luther Burden, and maybe that Luther Burden will drop to 35 overall. I kind of have my doubts that he's going to be there at 35, but if he is he that guy? Like, is Burden a guy that could be an impactful young wide receiver in the NFL? You know, Emeka Egbuka out of Ohio State. Like, could he be there at 35? Like, I don't think Matthew Golden's going to be there. Matthew Golden, I'd be surprised, given the way that he ran at the combine, if he's there around there. So I guess my question is, can you get both? Like, can you get your franchise quarterback and also your foundational young building block at wide receiver that, frankly, this team has been looking for since A.J. Brown?
Yeah, make the right choice. Yeah. A.J. Brown is 51, 52? Yeah, I didn't, like, when – it's not like going into that draft, everybody's like, that guy's coming right in, and he is just going to be, you know, so they
didn't
picked
take long,
him,
though.
And
like,
he was.
Watching him at practice, you're like, good gracious, look at this dude.
Yeah. And, he was great at Ole Miss, but you just, you know, sometimes you just don't know how some of these guys are going to come in and, you know, and make a difference or not. Again, I keep talking about the Detroit Lions today. I got Lions on the brain, but Amon-Ra St. Brown in the fourth round. My God, nobody thought that guy was going to do what he's done, obviously, or he wouldn't have gone in the fourth round. So, yeah, make a good choice. There's going to be some receivers after they pick that go that make an impact, right? So get one of those guys.
Yeah.
I definitely think that at 35, you can get one. Yeah, the Burden thing is interesting. I would tend to agree with you. He's probably – I don't think he lasts that long. But I wouldn't be surprised if that's right in the range of where there's a run on receivers, so it might not be too far. And you know, I do subscribe to the idea that 35, if the Titans want to do any, if they're not moving, 35 has got to be a real consideration if somebody's got someone they really want there to trade back.
Yeah.
Just because you need so, but then if you do that, well, then you may not get that guy, but you may get, you know, an edge.
That's the
and a good receiver.
Well, you bring up edge. Like, you know, we've talked with TD about this. Like, if you want an impactful edge, you might have to pick him at 35. Like, we've gone through like the history of the draft. It's rare to find guys that come into the league at edge rusher that you find later in the draft. It's not impossible, but it's rare that happens. So, a couple of different questions for you on that front. Let's say you get to pick 35, and there's, whether it's Burden or somebody else, there are some wide receivers that you want that are there. There are also some edge rushers that you want that are there. But there's heavy interest in somebody trading up and you moving back and collecting more picks. Like, how do you weigh all that if you're the Titans? And I guess here's the follow-up to that specifically to receiver. Does it matter to you what type of receiver they are? Because frankly, like, I look at the Titans receiving room right now, and they need everybody. Like, they need all different types of receivers. So, like, you know, if it's a slot guy, if it's an inside guy, if it's an outside guy, like, does it matter to you specifically which type of guy they're targeting with that high of a pick at wide receiver?
No, I just think it just has to be if you have a great slot receiver. Again, Amon-Ra, he's not an outside guy. He does everything. You can do anything with that guy. But mostly you are always going to move the chains with him. Or obviously a burner, a big physical guy. I don't think so. I just think it matters, you know, like just that you have someone who makes a difference. And, yeah, if you're trading back, you know, is a guy like a Jaden Higgins from Iowa State going to be back a little bit, you know, at edge? Yeah, I'm looking at like the top 100 picks right now. You know, Josiah Stewart from Michigan is a guy who probably goes mid late second round type thing. How much do you value him over some of those guys, or how do you compare him to some of those guys higher in the draft? You know, so much of it is, I mean, Trey Harris from Ole Miss. How do you compare him to some of these guys who are expected to go before him? If you think it's pretty flat and pretty level for a while, then heck yes, trade back. But then, you know, teams have their guy, right? They have their guy, and it's like, we can get our guy here. Princely Unmanmielen from Ole Miss. There's a guy who, first of all, just an amazing name, who, you know, you can get probably late second, maybe into the early third if you got into the third.
Yeah.
By trading back. You know, it's so much of it just depends on Kyle Kinnard from South Carolina.
Who I love.
Tez Johnson from Oregon.
I'm worried about him.
He's slight.
He's so small.
He's a little slight, yeah. You know? I mean, Isaiah Bond, I know. There's all this character stuff going on now with him, you know. But these are some of the guys who you're probably going to be relegated to if you move back. But, again, you might get both things.
Yeah.
So are both things more valuable than, oh my God, Luther Burden is our guy, or, you know, whoever would be at 35. Let's say Burden's gone. Who might be there at 35?
Or could Ibuka be there?
Yeah,
edge rusher side of things, like, would Landon Jackson be there? Like, do you look at Landon Jackson out of Arkansas and say, yeah, we just feel like we got to have that guy coming off the edge over there on the defensive side of things?
6'6", 273.
Yeah.
He's intriguing. You know, he's a hell of a football player. Now, exactly. That's the thing. It's like, okay, I love this guy. We have to take him. Or, actually, you know, we could take Landon Jackson here, or we can go back and we can get both things. It's so much of it is just how much you – I mean, I tend to, like, believe if you have a – you know, if you, the higher caliber of players – is pretty worthwhile. But again, you just look through the draft year after year, there's just always guys who go later that are like, wow, how the heck did that guy go in the third or fourth?
Well, I mean, look, I mean, what do you do if you're the Titans? I'm really interested to see how this part of it goes beyond just the fact that he played for Tennessee. But, like, what if James Pierce is there at 35? Like,
yeah.
What do you do if you're the Titans there? Like, it'd be hard for me to pass up on that based on the talent.
Too talented to not, in my opinion. Too talented to not. There's a difference between, you know, sometimes guys have their eyes on the NFL in college, and so it doesn't go well. Well, now you're in the NFL.
Right.
So if it's just a, like, coachability thing and all that, man, I think the talent's too good.
I mean, the easy answer from what you've thrown out there to me on the surface would always be, well, yeah, just trade back and try to get both. But sometimes there's a player that's available that makes it really hard to do that.
Yeah.
Because you know, if you're trading back, that player's probably not going to be there by the time your next pick comes around.
So it's almost better if they just go right before you. You didn't trade up because you can't trade up. And then it's like, okay.
Exactly. It's like, well, darn, we just missed on him.
So let's go back if possible.
615-737-1025, our phone number. We'll take your thoughts on wide receiver, edge rusher for the Titans, plus some Predators thoughts to get into. They got shellacked last night in Columbus. We are mercifully getting to the end of the regular season here with the local professional hockey team. I've got a question to throw out to Preds fans that we'll get to as well coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game, brought to you by First Horizon. Big bank muscle, small bank hustle. Visit firsthorizon.com/get it all. We're going to get into the Preds here in just a minute. I do want to address this from Chris on the text line real quick, because don't really know what you want us to do. Like Chris says, so tired of you guys pumping up these quarterbacks. They're not worthy of the first pick. Well, what exactly do you want us to do? Like, first
pumping
off,
them up.
I think you and I, throughout this process that has now been going on months, and thank God we are mercifully getting to the end of this, at the end of this month when the draft is done. I'm with all of you who have texted us the last few days that say they need to move up the draft by a month. You will not get any arguments from me. Yes, I am totally with you. But, like, I think you and I have made it pretty clear where we stand on these quarterbacks. I don't love them. Like, I'm not sitting here in love with Cam Ward. I'm not in love with Shedeur Sanders. Like, I'm not convinced personally that either one of those guys are going to be long-term franchise answers at the quarterback spot. But, however, like, I also recognize that it's pretty likely that one of them are going to the Titans, and if not, they're both going pretty high in the draft. So, like, what do you want us to do? Just not talk about it? Do you want us to just say, well, I know Joe and I don't love these quarterbacks, so because Joe and I don't love these quarterbacks, we're just going to totally ignore that they exist and the possibility that they're going to the Titans.
Yeah, be like Vladimir Putin state radio. They will not take the quarterback.
Yeah.
I mean, I've said a million times, Chris, I would go up to the podium and I would say, Travis Hunter, thank you, and be happy. And that's it. I've said that 10,000 times. But they're probably taking a quarterback. Someone's taking Cam Ward first, probably.
Yeah.
Will it be the Titans?
I mean, guess who holds the first pick right now?
Yeah. That would tend to warrant conversation.
So, I mean, yeah, man. I understand that if you don't – look, there are plenty of you who don't want to take a quarterback. That's fine. I mean, I think I'm largely with you. But I can't ignore the reality of what may happen here with the Titans. There is some quarterback stuff from Diana Russini that we're going to get into a little bit later in the program. Also, some interesting comments from Trevor Maddich on the Will Levis front yesterday on Stille & Company that we will also get into coming up in the 7 o'clock hour. I do want to address Preds fans right now. We're getting close to the end here, Joe. It is a shame that we're sitting here, you know, at the beginning of April with this team. You know, heading into this year, Joe, I thought we'd be sitting here on April the 2nd, and we'd be talking about, of course, the draft coming up with the Titans, but gearing up for a playoff run here for Nashville, and clearly that's not going to happen with the Predators. They get beat 8-4 last night. They're playing out the string here. It's been rough to watch as of late. You know, they've lost four in a row, and it's basically like crawling through sand to get through the end right now. That's what it feels like to me watching it, so I can imagine what it feels like to them. My question is, if you're a Predators fan, I think a lot of Predators fans are kind of with me there in terms of, let's just get to the end of this thing. Let's get to the draft lottery, and let's see exactly where they end up here. Which, by the way, they're looking like they're going to be in pretty good shape to at least end up with the top three picks, so we'll see what happens on that front. My question is, what's your reaction going to be if Barry Trotz does not make a coaching change this summer? I think for a lot of Predators fans, they just assume that a coaching change is coming, that when the regular season ends, that it, whether it's a couple days later or a week or two later, whatever it is, that Barry Trotz is going to come out with a statement saying, we've relieved Andrew Burdett of his coaching duties and we've begun the process of looking for a new coach. And that may happen. I mean, I tend to think when you have a season that's gone off the rails as much as this one has, in professional sports and specifically this sport, the coach ends up being the one that pays the price. So my likelihood is, just my gut feeling, that probably will happen. But I don't feel 100% about it based on some of the things that Barry Trotz has said throughout this process. So what is your reaction going to be, and what will you think of the direction here for the organization if Andrew Burnett is back as head coach next year? That is my question today for Predators fans.
I will say this for Preds fans. I think if you have paid close attention, because Barry Trotz talks a lot. He talks weekly to Jared. He's been available to local media. I mean, if you've paid close attention and you're shocked if he doesn't fire him, then I have to question whether you've paid close attention. I understand that traditionally, I guess you look at this whole situation and it's like, oh, yeah, the coach is gone.
Yeah. Right?
I mean, but this is – I mean, again, I have to take Barry Trotz at his word. This is a different situation. And Barry Trotz is a different GM, and that may prove to be not great. You know, we're going to see with Barry Trotz moving forward. Obviously, it went totally downhill this year, but I don't see how you could take all this in and then be completely convinced that it's happening. I guess I'm probably like, I mean, I don't know. I'm probably in the 50-50 range on this.
I'm not sure either. It's hard for me to get over the way that this is ending here. Like, it's not that they're not playing hard, because I think they are. Right now, I just think their roster is terrible. Like, I just think they're not very good right now. So, I mean, they got beat 8-4 last night. Saros was bad. Defense was bad. Like, it could be rough. It already is. It could be rough down the stretch. I mean, they got Dallas coming up Thursday. They get Dallas again later this year.
By the way, real quick, I could not tell effort on the cartoon last night.
You couldn't?
I watched the animated. I wasn't. I mean, they looked happy, yeah, kind of out there,
jovial
in the cartoon,
yeah,
world. So I couldn't really assess effort all that well.
Well, there were a few close-up shots on the actual broadcast last night, particularly late in the game when there's some verbal disagreements going on out there that I'm glad they did not show on the kids' broadcast.
By the way,
Steven Stamkos was fired up. So was Philip Forsberg. And so was Andrew Burnett, all in the span of about 6 seconds. It's like, wow, there's a lot of language flying around out there.
Who at who?
They're all at the officials. Every one of them.
That's interesting. Also, real quick, you know, Max and C-Mace, the in unison fang fingers, very nice touch, yeah, on the broadcast.
Good stuff last night on the animated broadcast. Yeah, I'm not convinced that he will get fired. I if you force me to choose right now, I would say yes, just based on I just think it's hard to go through a season like this with the expectations being what they were. And frankly, with the contract situation being what it is moving forward, and I think it's going to be hard to really change the equation that much on what your roster looks like. I think rather than trying to worry about changing all that, I think sometimes it's just easier to change the coach. And that could be where they're headed after this year. Now, Barry Trotz, I've said this for a long time. Barry Trotz is going to be more patient than most. I think he probably already has been more patient than most general managers when it comes to the coach.
Yeah.
And I get that from how he came up. David Poile was extremely patient with him, and it ended up working out, and it paid off, and he became eventually a Stanley Cup champion out of all that in Washington. So I'm not going to be stunned if Andrew Brunette is back next year. I just do wonder what the reaction from the fan base at large would be on that front. Let's head to our 102.5 The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Ryan to the program. Ryan, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Good morning, guys. Honestly, I wouldn't be shocked if he's not fired. I think Trotz is trying to see what the coaching market might be before he pulls the trigger. Because I'd say if Pittsburgh fires Mike Sullivan, that's got to be your new head coach. Or, honestly, with how veteran of a roster we have, I would probably maybe see if Laviolette and Housley would want to come back, especially Housley. Because when we had Housley as an assistant coach and power play coach, Fred's had one of the lethal power plays in the league, and we didn't have much back then to really do anything with. And now you have a power play specialist like Stamkos and Marchessault that could be even more deadlier for him to play with.
Yep, thanks for the call, Ryan. Appreciate it. We'll take your thoughts on the coaching front for the Predators. Already some thoughts rolling in the text line that we'll get to coming up next. What's your reaction going to be if Trotz does not move on from Andrew Brunette this summer? This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Welcome back in, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Taking your thoughts on the Predators. Throwing the question out there, Preds fans, what will your reaction be if the Predators do not move on from Andrew Brunette this offseason, which I do think is a possibility? Taking your thoughts on that. We got a lot of different thoughts to get to. Let's start on our 102.5, The Game phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in, Frank, to the program. Frank, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hey, good morning. I'd be pretty ticked off if Barry Trotz doesn't fire Andrew Brunette. Just because, I mean, it sounds pretty clear to me that he wants this team to try and be competitive again next year, and that's all you really can do. And I just think clearly it's not working with him. And I mean, if he wants the team to get younger too, you look at all the young guys we had, pretty much all of them regress. I mean, I think if you keep them on, you're just doing the same thing over and over again. And that's just the definition of insanity.
Yep. Thanks for the call, Frank. Appreciate it. A lot of texts basically to that regard on the text line. We do have one from Opie on the text line that says, Trotz needs to be patient. Give him another offseason, 20 games to start next year. I just don't want the Preds to seem as dysfunctional as the Titans are. This is from Opie on the text line.
That's the standard.
That is, yeah, that is the standard.
Rebecca says if Barry keeps them, they both get one more year. And in a year, we need a GM too. Same thing here from Jesse. I hope Bruno does stay, and it's just like this year, so they both go next year. So that's sort of the increasing sentiment, I'd say. You know, dissatisfaction with Trotz, which is fair.
Look, when the year's gone this poorly, everything's fair. Yeah. So, I mean, there's no doubt about that. I would say this. I don't think there's any scenario. I could be wrong. I don't think I am. I don't think there's any scenario where they're bringing Andrew Brunet back and he gets all of next year no matter what. Like, it's important if they do bring him back, he cannot have a similar start to the season that he's had the last 2 years. If he does, I just don't know how you make it through that. I don't know how you would make it through three consecutive years of starting a season really poorly. Like, I think the first year to some degree is explainable. Number one, given the roster, and number two, given the new system. Last year, a little bit less explainable, this year, a little bit less explainable. If you do it again next year, then that tells me that you don't really have a whole lot of answers to start a season. And look, if you're a Predators fan, I think that's also what you've been looking for. Now, like, look, I mean, we've all known that this season has been over for a while. The players have known it. You know, they got officially eliminated from the playoffs last week, Joe. And I thought Ryan O'Reilly's comment after that was pretty telling. He's like, oh, yeah, it feels like we got eliminated a long time ago. That's basically what he said. He's like, yeah, we feel like we've been eliminated for a long time. Which, if you've watched this team all year, you feel the same way. Like, it almost feels like they've been eliminated since late October when they started 0-5 and have been chasing it ever since. So, one thing that has not really happened that I think it depends on your perspective, because they have had some different injuries that have come along since then, but there's never really been an answer. Like, Andrew Brunet has never really found an answer this year where you can look at it and say, oh, well, we feel pretty good about the way the whole group is building heading into next year. That hasn't happened. I mean, right now they're just as bad, if not worse, as they've been at any point this year. And certainly injuries are part of that now when you're missing as many guys as they are. Like, you know, Yossi, Sissons, Lazan, Marchessault were all out last night. They're missing a lot of guys. But there's not really been an answer at any point this year, which I do think makes it a way tougher sell to keep Brunet heading into next year.
Right, and again, that gets into like what you said earlier, which is if you can't really make massive roster changes, which I don't see it. Now, maybe there's some trade this summer that blows us all away, and it's like, I never thought that could be possible, but for the most part, you know, it's going to be the core is coming back. So if that's the case, then I think it's a harder sell to go another year with them.
Well, and here's the other thing. I think there's an assumption, and it may end up playing out this way, but I think there's an assumption that if they end up getting a top three pick and they end up with one of these two centermen that we've talked about, be that a James Hagans or a Michael Misa, that those guys are coming in next year and are going to play and are playing in the top six. And that might happen. I think what's also a possibility is, like, if they drafted James Hagans, he goes back to college next year and plays in college. And then maybe a year from now, he's ready to play in the NHL. Or if they draft Michael Misa, that he's not quite ready to play in the NHL and he goes back to junior. And then a year from now, he's back in. I don't know that. Like, both of those guys may say, you know what? We're ready to play in the league. And the Predators may look at it and say they can come help us right now. I don't think either one of those guys are guaranteed to be in the NHL next year. Now, if they draft the defenseman, Schaefer, he's going to be in the league next year.
But, yeah, so, you know, you can't – you're not going to have instant massive impact on your team. I
no.
mean, I suppose that's the thing. They have need in the back end.
They got need everywhere.
They've got
right
need.
Now.
But
other
like
than,
the,
I guess, in goal.
The endless search for a centerman, though, is
– I feel like if you have the opportunity to select one of those centermen, you almost have to if you're Barry Trotz.
Never get that opportunity. You know, they never do. Right. Never have.
Let's head back to our 102.5 The Game phone line. Welcome in Marshall to the program. Marshall, good morning. Thanks for calling in.
Hey, good morning, guys. So I've always kind of defined a good coach as one who could manage his players well. And as we all know, the Predators have an incredible roster, an incredible amount of talent. And Andrew Burdette, it just does not know how to manage them well. And we see little snippets here and there because the Predators beat these teams periodically who they have no business beating. And we see the same problem with the Titans, really. So whether or not he should go, I think I had enough of him. I think it was about mid-December, maybe late November when we played Calgary on the road. I like the guy, but the fact is he's not managing his players well. Trotz, does he need to go? I don't know. I don't think so. I like the guy, but I think Bruno for sure needs to.
Thanks for the call.
Thanks.
Bye. Appreciate it, Marshall. Here's one thing I'll say on all that. The Predators, and this is, I think, a big part of the identification over the summer of what needs to take place. And, you know, based on your answer to this, I think how you try to attack the summer. The Predators do have a lot of names on their team. Right?
Exactly. They have a lot of achievement. They have an incredible amount of achievement, not necessarily talent.
They have a lot of names. They have a lot of guys who have done a lot of winning and have played at a high level on their team. Stamkos, Marchessault, Yossi, Forsberg. We can go up and down the list. O'Reilly. They also have a lot of old guys. So how much talent do they still have? Like, is this actually a talented roster? I mean, from a pure ability standpoint, all those guys have talent. Are they still capable of being high-level NHL players? That's what you have to determine. If the answer is yes, and you believe it's the coach holding them back, well, then there's your answer as to what to do with Andrew Burnett. If the answer is, well, these guys, in some cases, have been elite players in the NHL who kind of look like they're on the other side of it right now, then that's a whole different problem to address this offseason.
Yeah, so then it points more to Trotz. Also see what we've talked about before, some on the text line, which is this system seems to be – there's so much talk about the system, and it seems to be this, you know, at times difficult to grasp or at times difficult to master and really play it the way you need to play it.
Yeah.
I mean, you've said it many times, like, system can be so overrated. But, I mean, his system is, like, it's a big deal, you know, and obviously it doesn't fit. How much I do believe in the general idea in sports of good coaching of – you fit what your system is to your player's strengths. Has he done that well enough?
Well, I don't think he's done it well enough, clearly. They've tried to make some changes to the system, and they've tried to simplify some things. And look, I think looking at this team, you know, Andrew Burnett likes to play high pace, get the puck up the ice as quickly as possible. And I do think it's fair to ask, like, do they actually have the horses to do that right now? Like, I think everything from that standpoint and the way that they play – has to be under evaluation. One thing I'll also say, like, if you are going to move on from him as coach, like, I do think you need to have somebody else pretty clearly in mind. Like, I don't love the idea of just being like, well, let's fire him and then let's hope that somebody comes free out there. Like, you know, we had a caller earlier bring up Sullivan. I don't know what's going to happen with Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh, but he would be kind of the type of guy that I'd be like, yeah, I could see that.
Yeah.
Like, I could see you making a move.
He'll be somewhere quickly.
Yeah. Yeah, so it's going to be very interesting to see what they do. We will get back into this conversation probably tomorrow here on the show. There's, you know, look, it's going to be a grind to get through the end of the regular season here. I've been impressed. Like, the crowds have still been pretty good at Bridgestone, and, you know, people are holding on right now. Like, I can tell you, just walking in the room after, it's everybody can feel it. It's a grind to get through this thing here. So we'll see what that looks like. But going to be a very interesting offseason that is now just a couple of weeks away. Their last game is April 16th, so we're getting to the prime time here of the end of the regular season, and then we'll find out pretty quickly what Barry Trotz wants to do on the coaching front. We got some quarterback discussion to get into coming up next, including some interesting comments from Diana Russini that we just uncovered that are very interesting as it relates to the Tennessee Titans and what could happen with the number one overall pick. We'll get into that coming up next. Paul Kuharski will be with us next hour as well to get into all things Tennessee Titans with him. Robbie and Rex Rowe, 102.5, 106.3, The Game.